Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar and Dear Mazekas Bab Metzia Daf Mem of the third Perek HaMafkid. This Perek has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that if one left a keg with his friend without designating a place for it, and the Shomer moved it and broke it through an onus, he's only responsible if he had not put it back and had moved it for his own purposes, which is like stealing it. The Mishnah then says that if the owner did designate a place for his keg, the Shomer is responsible for moving it for his own purposes, even after putting it down. The first case falls Rabbi Yishmael's view that returning a stolen item does not require das balim, the owner's knowledge, to end the thief's liability, so the Shomer is exempt after putting it back. The Gemara asks that the second case seems to reflect Rabbi Kiva's view, that returning stolen items does require the owner's knowledge, so the Shomer is liable even after returning it. After Amoraim give three explanations for how the Shomer in the Mishnah stole the keg, the Gemara answers that the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. His liability in the second case is because he placed the keg in a different place from its designated place and is not considered to have returned it. Point in which Rav and Levi argue of Shrichas Yad, Shricha Chisaron, misappropriation of a pikadon requires a partial loss for the Shomer to be liable. The Gemara attempts to prove that Rav holds that it does not require loss. A brisa teaches that a shepherd is exempt for attacks of a wolf or lion, but if he places his staff or pouch on the sheep, constituting Shrichas Yad, he's chayev. Rav added that it was still on the sheep when the attack occurred, so it was not considered returned. Although he must acquire the pikadon to be liable, Rav explained Shikisha b'makel, he struck it with his staff, v'rasas alafanav, and it ran before him, which qualifies as mashicha. Since Rav did not mention that the sheep was harmed, he seems to hold that Shrichas Yad does not require a chisaron to be liable. The Gemara responds that Rav meant shehichisha b'makel, that he weakened the sheep when he struck it with the staff, and Rav holds a chisaron is required. This is supported by Rav's choosing a case of striking with the staff. And point number three, having established that Levi holds, Shrichas Yad does not require a loss, the Gemara asks for a source. Rabbi Yochanan explains the Torah wrote the law of Shrichas Yad both regarding a Shomer Chinam and regarding a Shomer Sachar. Levi holds, since it applies to a Shomer Chinam, who's only chai for negligence, it certainly applies to a Shomer Sachar, who's chai for theft and loss, and it's mentioned there as superfluous. Rather, it's written to teach that Shrichas Yad is liable even without any loss. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds it's not superfluous because a Shomer Chinam has a stringency to pay kefil if he swears falsely that the pikadon was stolen, as opposed to a Shomer Sachar, who is liable for theft. Rav said that Shrichas Yad did not need to be written by a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar because it can be derived from a Shoel, a borrower, who has permission to use the item and becomes liable for our own sin when he takes it to use. Any Shomer without permission to use it should certainly be liable for taking it to use. One of these two extra passages teaches that Shrichas Yad does not require a loss to be liable. The Gemara defends the other opinion. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that if one left a keg with his friend without designating a place for it, and the Shomer moved it and it broke through an onus, he's only responsible if he had not put it back and had moved it for his own purposes, which is like stealing it. The Mishnah then says that if the owner did designate a place for his keg, the Shomer is responsible for moving it for his own purposes, even after putting it down. The first case falls Rabbi Yishmael's view that returning a stolen item does not require das balim, the owner's knowledge, to end the thief's liability, so the Shomer is exempt after putting it back. The Gemara asks that the second case seems to reflect Rabbi Kiva's view that returning stolen items does require the owner's knowledge, so the Shomer is liable even after returning it. After Amoraim give three explanations for how the Shomer in the Mishnah stole the keg, the Gemara answers that the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael. His liability in the second case is because he placed the keg in a different place from its designated place and is not considered to have returned it. Point in which Rav and Levi argue of Shrichas Yad, Shricha Chisaron, misappropriation of a pikadon requires a partial loss for the Shomer to be liable. The Gemara attempts to prove that Rav holds that it does not require loss. A brisa teaches that a shepherd is exempt for attacks of a wolf or lion, but if he places his staff or pouch on the sheep, constituting Shrichas Yad, he's chayev. Rav added that it was still on the sheep when the attack occurred, so it was not considered returned. Although he must acquire the pikadon to be liable, Rav explained Shikisha b'makel, he struck it with his staff, v'rasas alafanav, and it ran before him, which qualifies as mashicha. Since Rav did not mention that the sheep was harmed, he seems to hold that Shrichas Yad does not require a chisaron to be liable. The Gemara responds that Rav meant shehichisha b'makel, that he weakened the sheep when he struck it with the staff, and Rav holds a chisaron is required. This is supported by Rav's choosing a case of striking with the staff. And point number three, having established that Levi holds, Shrichas Yad does not require a loss, the Gemara asks for a source. Rabbi Yochanan explains the Torah wrote the law of Shechichas Yad both regarding a Shomer Chinam and regarding a Shomer Sachar. Levi holds, since it applies to a Shomer Chinam, who's only chai for negligence, it certainly applies to a Shomer Sachar, who's chai for theft and loss, and it's mentioned there as superfluous. Rather, it's written to teach that Shechichas Yad is liable even without any loss. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds it's not superfluous because a Shomer Chinam has a stringency to pay kefil if he swears falsely that the Bikadim was stolen, as opposed to a Shomer Sachar, who's liable for theft. Rava said that Shechichas Yad did not need to be written by a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar because it can be derived from a Shoel, a borrower, who has permission to use the item and becomes liable for our own seam when he takes it to use. Any Shomer without permission to use it should certainly be liable for taking it to use. One of these two extra passages teaches that Shechichas Yad does not require a loss to be liable. The Gemara defends the other opinion. Alright, so now we go to Simmer Daf Mem Aleph, and our standard simmon is a grandma. A grandma, so here goes. And that grandma who had taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot and was surprised because she hadn't actually taken any, which her grandson patiently explained to her was because of the extra pasuk of Shechichas Yad. Once again, slow motion. The grandma, that must be learned off Mem Aleph. The grandma who had taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot, which reminds us, the Mishnah in the previous stuff taught that if one left a keg with his friend without designating a place for it, and the shomer moved it and broke it through an onus, he's only chayev if he had not put it back and had moved it for his own purposes, which is like stealing it. The Mishnah then says that if the owner did designate a place for his keg, the shomer is responsible for moving it for his own purposes, even after putting it down. So the grandma who had taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot and was surprised because she hadn't actually taken any, which reminds us, Rav and Levi argue if Shechichas Yad Tzricha Chisaron, misappropriation of a pikadon requires a partial loss for the shomer to be liable. So the grandma who had taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot and was surprised because she hadn't actually taken any, which her grandson patiently explained to her was because of the extra pasuk of Shechichas Yad, which reminds us, having established the Levi hold Shechichas Yad does not require a loss. The Gemara asks for a source. Rabbi Yochanan explains, the Torah wrote the law of Shechichas Yad both regarding a Shomer Chinam and regarding a Shomer Sachar. Levi holds, since it applies to a Shomer Chinam, who is only chai for negligence, it certainly applies to a Shomer Sachar, who is liable for theft and loss, and its mention there is superfluous. Rather, it's written to teach that Shechichas Yad is liable even without any loss. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds it's not superfluous because a Shomer Chinam has a stringency to pay kefil if he swears falsely that the pikadon was stolen, as opposed to a Shomer Sachar, who is liable for theft. So once again, the grandma who had taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot and was surprised because she hadn't actually taken any, which her grandson patiently explained to her was because of the extra pasuk of Shechichas Yad. All right, so now it's time for four blah bah chazar. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The attendant at the laser tag arena, laser tag, that mismimimimimimim on Daf Lamed Zayin. The attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, which reminds us, in a case where someone was given pikdonos in two bundles, meaning at separate times, and was negligent in not knowing who gave what, he must pay. But in the case where they gave their pikdonos together, which is similar to giving them in one bundle, the shomer says, you yourselves were not particular with each other, should I be particular to know who gave which amount? So the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if someone admits to having stolen from one of two people, but does not know which, he must pay both. The Mishnah's case is Bevolat Tzitzit De Shamayim, where he comes to fulfill his heavenly obligation to avoid punishment, which requires him to pay every possible victim. This is supported by the Mishnah's language, Shehoda Mipiatzmo, because he admitted to the claim. So the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was. And the ref told him he has to pay every player who claims he took his, which reminds us, Rabbi Akiva holds, gezel from an unknown victim is paid to both if each is bari. Daf Ram Neches. So the Siman Daf Ram Neches is a Davralach, a liquid, and we use soup. So here goes. The Shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner. When he made barley soup, that must be on Daf Ram Neches. The Shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner when he made barley soup, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one left his produce with someone, the Tanna Kamma says, afil hen avudin, even if it's becoming ruined by mice or spoiling, he shouldn't touch it to sell it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he should sell it in Basin, because he's like returning a lost item to its owner. Two reasons are given to explain the Tanna Kamma's opinion. Rav Kahana says, Adam rotz mekav shelo, a person prefers a cup of his own produce, for which he toiled, which might remain at the end, but tisha kavim shel chavero, more than 9 kavs of his fellow's produce, which he could buy if his produce would be sold earlier. So the Shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner when he made barley soup, watched another Shomer race to Basin to sell produce that was spoiling at a rapid rate, which reminds Rabbi Bar Barchana quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that this Malchukas applies where the produce is becoming ruined at a normal rate. However, Yosef Mechdei Chesron, if it's becoming ruined at more than its normal rate of depletion, Divrei Kol Mochrim BeBasin, all agree he sells it in Basin. So the Shomer who didn't touch the cup of barley he was guarding, even though it was getting ruined, because he knew how chaviv it was to the owner when he made barley soup, watched another Shomer race to Basin to sell produce that was spoiling at a rapid rate, and then purchased more at a captive's property nearby that was being cared for by the captive's relative. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the laws of a captive's property. Rav says, Emoridin karvo nochosel. We do not install a relative who would inherit him in a captive's property to work and care for it, but Shmuel says we do. Rav says we do not install a relative, Dilma mafsidu, because perhaps he'll ruin the land by trying to get as much as possible from the land while it's under his control and not fertilized between crops. Shmuel holds that since, even if the owner returns, the relative will be paid like a sharecropper, he will tend to it responsibly. Daf Ramates. So the Siman Daf Ramates is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes. The mailman who delivered a letter, that must be more Daf Ramates. The mailman who delivered a letter to the Karov, taking care of his captive relative's property, that was addressed to the Aris, which reminds us, the Brisa from the previous Daf concluded, Bakun Shamin Lehem Karis, and all those who accept to manage a relative's property, we evaluate the profits for them like a sharecropper's normal share. The Gemara explains that this refers to Netushim, unwillingly abandoned property, meaning a live captive's property, and follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that such properties have the same law as Shvuyim, properties of captives rumored to have died. So the mailman who delivered a letter to the Karov, taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the Aris, and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck, since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land, lest he ruin it, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Ein morin katan nichsei shvuye, we do not install a katan in a captive's property because he may ruin it. Well, karavu nichsei katan, nor do we install a relative in a katan's property, because since the katan does not know to protest against claims, the relative may come claim it's his share of their joint inheritance. So the mailman who delivered a letter to the karov, taking care of his captive relative's property, that was addressed to the Aris, and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck, since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land, lest he ruin it, stopped to talk to the apotropos of a captive elderly woman's field, who told him that since he was appointed as an apotropos for half the property, he was appointed for the other half as well. Which reminds the Gemara, it's an incident of a safta, of an elderly woman with 3 daughters. She and one daughter were captured, and another daughter died, leaving behind a young son. Not knowing if the elderly woman was alive, Abai wondered how her property should be managed and concluded that half the property should be managed by the remaining sister, either as an owner or as a caretaker for the captive, depending on who's alive, and an apotropos is appointed to manage the other half, either for the young boy or the adult owner. Rava said, Migu de Makmina apotropos lepalga, since we appoint an apotropos for half the property, Makmina le apotropos leidach palga, we appoint an apotropos for the other half as well. Daf Mem. So the Siman Daf Mem relates to Mayim, and we use a pool for the Siman. So here goes. The post-rainy season poolside party pool. That must more on Daf Mem. Mayim. The post-rainy season poolside party was abruptly canceled when the Shomer discovered the supply of chips was devastated by mice, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamafkid peros etzel chaver, if one deposits produce with his friend, Arze Yotzi lo chesronos, the Shomer, deducts the expected depletion when returning it. After listing the normal rate for several grains, it concludes, HaKolafi HaMida, it's all proportional according to the amount, but HaKolafi HaZman, and it's all according to the length of time of the Pikadon, meaning it's deducted yearly. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, what do the mice care about the volume of produce? They eat the same amount regardless of the total volume. Rather, deductions are only taken from a single core. So the post-rainy season poolside party was abruptly canceled when the Schumer discovered the supply of chips was devastated by mice. The barrel holding a large quantity of corn kernels for the popcorn burst when it expanded, which reminds us, Rebuta said in the Mishnah, Imaisa mita maruba, if the pikadon was a large quantity, eno motzi lo chesronos, he does not deduct any depletions, mipnei shemosiros, because the produce expands by absorbing moisture in the rainy season enough to make up for the depletion. Well, Papa asked the Bai that if grain expands to such a degree, a barrel filled with grain and sealed should burst when it expands. The Gemara responds that there was indeed an incident in which a barrel burst. So the post-rainy season poolside party was abruptly canceled when the Shomer discovered the supply of chips was devastated by mice. The barrel holding a large quantity of corn kernels with the popcorn burst when it expanded, and someone had mixed the shemarim back into the oil for the fryer, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists deductions taken from deposited liquids, including the settling of shemarim, sediments, in oil. Rav Yehuda says, Afa mocher shem mezuka l'chaveru kol yemos hashana, even one who sells refined oil to his friend for the whole year, meaning he commits to supply him with oil for a year and gives him refined oil, the buyer accepts upon himself 1.5 logim of shemarim for every 100 logim he purchases. Abai explains the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda holds mutar av shemarim. It's permitted for the seller to mix settled sediment back into the pure oil, since the buyer did not specify refined oil. The Rabban holds it's forbidden for a seller to mix shemarim back into the oil, so the buyer does not accept any deductions in the oil. Alright, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss deducting normal depletions from a pikadon of produce? And the response that mice don't care about volume, that's on duff. Ma'am. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss what the din is when a shomer steals a pikadon and returns it without the owner's knowledge or to the wrong place? That's on duff. Mem Aleph. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss whether a karov should watch his captive relative's property? That's on duff. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have a question if one may mix settled shemarim back into the oil when selling it? That's on duff. Mem. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we have a question if shrichas yod shricha chisaron, a partial loss for the shomer to be chayev? That's on duff. Mem Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have a question whether a shomer who lends out an animal that dies naturally is paid the damages? That's on duff. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn that Rav holds that a shomer shamasa or shomer is pater even if there was a downgrading of shmirah? That's on duff. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn a large quantity of produce compensates for its own depletion as it expands during the rainy season, making up for the depletion? That's on duff. Mem. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn that a relative taking care of a relative's property who's captive, his profits are evaluated as an aris? That's on duff. I'm a test. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we discuss what we learn from the extra pasuk of Shrichas Yad? That's on duff. Mem Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.